Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
All right!
Well, Dee, was that applause for us? Could that possibly be?
I think so. This is special.
Why?
Because we're starting a new round of the alphabet.
Catholic vitamin A.
A, yeah, for actress. That's a funny vitamin.
I know, it is. Take two aspirin and call me in the morning. I don't know how we turn that into actress, but we have a wonderful guest, a very special guest to kick off the beginning of our ninth year of doing Catholic Vitamins. Our guest on Catholic Vitamin A is Nicole Abbasinio. She's a Hollywood actress who went through a tremendous conversion in her life. We'll share a bit of that in just a second or two, Dee.
This is episode 394 for the World Wide Web and episode 40 for KPIH 98.9, our local Catholic radio.
Yes. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if we'd have been able to do show number 400 and do
episode 40 or 50?
And do vitamin A and be, you know, have all of this happen.
I know.
Well,
this didn't work that way.
It didn't work that way. So for some of you who have not heard of Nicole Abbasinio, we're going to tell you that she is a driven young woman, a lovely actress who was making it very big in movies as an actress, and making it very big in producing movies, profitable movies. And she was even on the red carpet at the Cannes Film Festival in France. And something happened to her. Dee, we have a short audio clip of her own personal testimony. Why don't we play that for our listeners as a tease for the interview that we have coming up, and then we'll be back.
And I'm standing literally in France on this red carpet, and all my dreams have just come true of everything I ever wanted to be and do was right there in front of me. And I'm looking and everybody's outside and there's like these gates that are covering it so that like you're in and the rest of the world is out. And aren't you so special because you're in and they're out watching you? And I've never felt more empty or more miserable or more lost than I had ever been in my entire life. And I had no idea what was happening to me. And I went to the restroom and I remember I looked in the mirror and there was no one looking back at me.
Well, Dee, isn't that a powerful and touching confrontation that Nicole had? It reminds me of many of the people who have come to a point in their life where they realize that the journey that they are on is not the journey that God would have planned for them if they had been willing to accept it.
And it obviously makes you want to listen to the rest of the interview.
Yeah, which will be up as we feature Nicole at the heart of this episode of Catholic Vitamins.
Speaking of interviews, we were interviewed last weekend.
Tom and Dee?
Yeah.
Well, who would interview Tom and Dee?
Well, somebody who probably doesn't know anything about who we are. Yeah. No, that's not true. We were interviewed by SQPN Let's Talk podcast.
Father Corey.
Father Corey Stika.
Was the host of the show. And sort of in honor of maybe not our talent, but our longevity, hanging in there for 8 years, we were interviewed. And I'm thinking, Dee, that maybe what we want to put a link to the show, we'll get a link And we'll even verbalize it before we end the show.
I know I had it on my Facebook page, but we can maybe put it on Friends of Catholic Vitamins, too.
Yeah, we can do that. But let's mention it here on the show before we go a whole lot further. And maybe we can get permission from Father Corey to play that interview. And I'll tell you why, Dee. Some few people have said, you know, has anybody ever interviewed you, or have you ever told your story anyplace about how you got started? Well, the interview with Father Corey took us from when we were very moderate Catholics, not very high-performing Catholics, through an experience we had in Florida and how we came to more intense faith practice, real faith practice.
Through the diaconate.
Yeah, so maybe what we could do is get permission to play that, and we'll put that on Catholic Vitamins if anybody would like to hear it. We have had a couple requests for that in times past.
That would be good. I might mention it, Father Corey. Nobody knows who Father Corey is. He's a priest up in Montana. He's also the chaplain for the SQPN network.
As we move more into general prattle items, we have been experiencing the darn monsoon. Now, some might say we're grateful for the monsoon because it's brought rain to our forests around us and we really need rain. But they don't know what it's like living with our dog, Maggie.
Oh, my gosh.
We've talked about this on earlier shows. We don't want to bore our listeners, but when the monsoon decides to dump a bunch of lightning and rain, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we don't get much sleep.
So Dee and I were looking up the definition of the word monsoon because we had never heard of this before we came to Arizona. I mean, I'd heard the word before.
Right. Right.
And assumed that it was someplace over in the southeast or, you know, of the world. But we came here and people talked about the monsoon season. Well, at that time, I don't think we had a dog that was particularly upset by it. So we just got used to sometimes it would rain during the night. But here we are 10 years into our stay in this area. Going on 11 years, huh?
Yes.
And our dog really doesn't do well, which means, thanks be to God, we don't do well. But how much longer do you think we have in this monsoon season?
I think it runs into September, so we may have a few more weeks.
Oy vey, oy vey. That's an Irish Catholic expression, oy vey. Tom and Dee will be back.
Some candidates for public office claim that the government should not be involved in abortion. But the government got too involved in abortion the day it presumed to have the right to remove protection from unborn human beings. The first purpose of government is to protect the lives of its people. Nobody who would deliberately fail to do that is worthy of public office. This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.
Well, we got some new promotional announcements from Priest for Life. That was Father Frank Pavone. And we thank them for sharing those with us. We'll be using those on KPIH, Rim Catholic Radio, and hopefully from time to time on Catholic Vitamins D.
That actually reminds me about the speaker we're having at our Faith Travelers coming up.
Yeah, we have a group that has been meeting as a book club for quite a while and then sort of migrated into videos, but this coming meeting that we're having is we're going to have a speaker who has had personal involvement with abortion. She's had a powerful conversion in her own life, just like our guest, Nicole Abessinio. And this lady who's coming in has started the Rachel's Vineyard Ministry in North Central Arizona. And you know, maybe some past listeners know that I attended one of her Rachel's Vineyard retreats and found it extremely powerful, life-changing, and altering in terms of even my own ideas of relating to women or men who have been involved in abortion, sadly. So she's coming in. She also started a pregnancy center over in North Central Arizona, and we're looking forward to her visit.
Right. I just saw in my notes, you are and another parishioner are starting a new in-home Bible study.
Yeah, actually the other person, the lady, is going to be the main facilitator of it. She would just like to have some clergy involvement, and so I'm going to be joining with her, and our group starts soon. We're going to be doing the Jeff Cavins Bible study for the letter of James, the book of James from the New Testament. And interesting that she, the facilitator of this in-home study, and another lady, Connie, who's going to be attending, they've both done this study before and both want to do it again. It's been that helpful, that powerful for opening up Holy Scripture. Dee, I hope you'll be able to attend.
Oh, I'm going to miss the first one.
Yes, you are. Yeah, right.
Because I'm going to be out of town.
But we're getting started in September with that and looking forward to meeting with some new people. And I like doing in-home work of this kind because it allows people to be more intimate and they're able to speak a little more intimately and
freely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, dear friends, after another break, we're going to be featuring the interview with actress Nicole Abessinio, and Tom and Beat D will be back on the other side. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I am with a young lady that I have met electronically in recent months, and I can't even remember how this got started, but I saw a young woman giving testimony, so I'm going to guess that it was a YouTube clip or something, and I was taken by her passion, her poise, her beauty, and I made outreach to her. And she responded so generously and so lovingly. So we're on today with Catholic Vitamin A for an awesome young woman, Nicole Abessinio. I was telling her just before we started our recorded time together that I was going to use the word actress because, in part, that is part of her journey. And we'll get into all of that. But for this kickoff show, as we begin our ninth year of Catholic Vitamins, Nicole, thank you and bless you for coming on our show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, bless you. So I've done some research through three or four different places to try to get some information about you. I think I would like a six-part show with you to go through all the, all the things you have done. It's amazing to me. I mean, let me just read from one of the places that I picked up some information. Nicole was standing on the red carpet for a premiere at the Cannes Film Festival when she suddenly realized something was missing from her photo ops. In the midst of following her worldly dreams to be a successful actress and producer, she left Jesus in the rearview mirror. Well, right away, my heart is verklempt, tender, reading that. But, you know, I read that you graduated summa cum laude from Rollins College with a double major in theater and economics. Nicole, you're on fire in your life, and I want to find out all about the fire, but why don't we start with your childhood? Where were you born? What was your childhood like?
You know, of course, anyone thinks that their childhood is normal because they don't know anything else until later when they realize, oh, that's different than other people had perhaps. And I was on my own with my mom. It was just me and my mom. And she had actually run away from my father, who had tried to kill us. And I was, like, she was hiding me, hiding out for my safety. So that was how I started. And my mom, who comes from a Polish Jewish family, she actually had almost died, you know, through what my father did, and she converted to Catholicism. Which I've never actually spoken about this story. It's like you said, there's many parts to it and different parts come out at different times. And, you know, I think that, I mean, that was the original foundation, that my mom was called to be Catholic, and she had me baptized, when I was two. But then that was basically it. You know, we went to church on Sundays and she put me in Catholic school, but it didn't really go past that. It didn't really go into the home. There was definitely a belief, but I think it takes generations to kind of develop what that is. And so there's very much a disconnect between, you know, the Bible's teaching, the church's teaching, and what actually life is. And I think that that's where the disconnect came. And, yeah, I left the Catholic Church when I was either 8 or 9 years old, because some bad stuff happened in my school, in my Catholic school. It wasn't a pastor. It was not a priest. But some really bad things happened to my friends, and I disconnected completely and felt, I always believed in God. I never doubted that he existed. I was just so sure that because of all the stuff that he didn't care about me and he wasn't going to protect me. And so I basically just was going to have to take care of myself.
A lonely, lonely young lady, young girl, my heavens.
Definitely. Definitely.
So did you have this drive in you to find answers at that young age, or did you move on to other things in your life?
No, I was, from my first words, I only wanted to be in movies and theater and acting, and there was never anything else that I wanted to do. And so my full focus went to that and was that, was entertainment, and it was the world of that, and the approval from the world, and the applause, and the love from that, from being able to entertain people. So that was what my dedication was, and nothing ever really deterred me from that. Just that, and doing and focusing on doing well in school, and trying to be at the top of my class, and being a perfectionist, and that, like, that was it. That was what I did. So, yeah, no, I looked for no answers. I was done with all of that.
Oh, my. Well, you certainly had the classic type A approach to life. And I've already said that you you did very well in college. So what happened after you graduated from college? How did you begin your career?
Well, I began before because, I was very excited to do this because I got to go to college early. I went at 16, and it allowed me to have the opportunity to be performing, you know, and doing a lot of the theater shows. And my mom kept me out of it to an extent. I was never allowed to really get into it professionally. But I was actually doing school shows and professional shows in the theater all through, you know, growing up. But as soon as I graduated from college, it was like that was an immediate, you know, like my first priority. And I actually felt the Lord calling me back. Right around college time. Maybe I was 17. And I didn't know what it was at the time. Of course, now I understand that was the Holy Spirit. That was Jesus coming to me. But it was such a still voice, a small voice. And I'm almost positive at this point that he was calling me at that time to be a nun.
Oh, my.
And I didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted me, you know, to walk with him, but to have, like, I had a call on my life, and I didn't hear it really, but I also was like, what are you talking about? You know, I have plans. I'm going to do all these great things that I have planned for my life. And off I went. And so, you know, from that time, I was working in commercials and theater and movies and, you know, all of that. And, of course, it's a struggle as you're, you know, trying to get work and you do all the different jobs and you keep going to auditions. But with that perseverance, I was definitely working, and I was working, you know, as steadily and full time as an actor and actress, star vitamin actress. And I moved to New York City because I had topped out of where I was at the time, which was a smaller market. And that was when I think my faith really started getting challenged. And when I say my faith, I still believed in God. And, like, I think that there were morals that were instilled, even though I had never read the Bible and even though I didn't understand, there were things that Jesus wrote on my heart. Which started getting really pushed back when I was in New York City and in Hollywood working in the field. I mean, everything was an assault on, you know, my purity, my chastity, my just self-worth, vanity, greed. I mean, lust. It's basically everything comes at you in so many different directions in those assaults. And it's like, you know, you're not even, you just start getting pushed back a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And that brought me to, you know, where I was finally working and I was successful and I thought that, you know, all my dreams were coming true. And this was all I ever wanted in my entire life. And it was when I started to get there, when I started to get success, when I started to really make it where people started to be, you know, you made it when people, like, hate you, like, when you have hate. You know you've made it when people are trying to pull you down, and they want what you have, or that's how you know in Hollywood. That's how you know when you're doing well. It's very odd. But anyway, so I was, you know, acting in movies, living the celebrity lifestyle, you know, private memberships to clubs and just being around the elite of the elite. And, you know, again, making my living at this and, you know, making a movie. At this point I started producing movies. I wasn't just acting anymore because a lot of the parts that I was getting offered once I started to, you know, get jobs, they all had nudity. And that was one thing that I never did. And thank God that I never did it, but that was written on my heart. Like, I just was, so I would always turn down all of these things. And it was very difficult because every single job was that. I was up for The Sopranos like 7 times. And I was up for, you know, all these jobs that had, like, the women were always portrayed, you know, in such a negative or one-dimensional way. And even then, there was some sort of something in my spirit telling me that I was worth more than that. And so that's why I was producing. But even with the producing, it was constant, you know, attacks on morality. And I was making projects, and not on purpose. I mean, I just thought I was entertaining people. It didn't really cross my mind. I was making movies with terrible language. And, you know, a lot of gratuitous violence and, you know, action fight films. And I was making horror movies, which was awful. I would never even watch one now. But at the time, everybody regarded it so highly. It's the exact opposite. And it was at the Cannes Film Festival when I was on the red carpet that I had this Holy Spirit transformation. It was the beginning of a huge conversion to faith. Surprisingly, it was a Woody Allen premiere. God can work ever he wants.
Nicole, I have a smile to share with you and then a question to ask for our listeners. The smile is that we have a dear young lady, she's probably about your age, who came to visit us twice. She started as an electronic friend, somebody we connected with on the World Wide Web because of our podcasting. And she came to visit us twice from Pennsylvania, and she's now a discalced Carmelite nun. So if you still want to consider, what we would do is we would offer you a visit in our home, and that would be the the test for whether or not God is still calling you to be a nun.
The reason why I'm laughing is because God has been bugging me for the past 3 years to wear, you know, the Carmelite, oh my gosh, I'm literally wearing it right now. The brown scapular.
Oh yes, I have been told this.
Right, so for 3 years, and I literally was just speaking at a conference for the diocese in Pittsburgh. I just got back from there, and the priest who was hosting me gave me another brown scapular, and I said, fine, I'll wear it, because it's just so funny, like, I'll wear them, but I just felt so called to wear the scapular, and then I went to visit my spiritual director, who is up at the Franciscan house. He's retired now, and he's been my spiritual director for years, but when we went up there, they have the Carmelite, they have a Carmelite order across the street. And he's like, we can just leave you here. He just wanted to leave me here. And my spiritual director has been specifically telling me, for the past year that he feels that, you know, Carmelites are, whether it's third order or whatever it is, but that's, you know, what fits my spirituality. So I'm so smiling and laughing at what you said, and to go on with that, I did recently discern in the past couple of years that I actually did want to at least either wanted to consecrate or I wanted to be a sister. I was looking into the different orders and different things, and I prayed for 6 months just nonstop about this to discern. And at the end, I thought for sure Jesus was going to ask me to marry him, but he did not. So he sent me back. So it's either not now or he must have, you know, the call of marriage. I'm not sure yet. We'll see what he does.
Nicole,
I'm excited, whatever it is.
Nicole, you're still invited to come see us, and we won't put up any pictures of Carmelite nuns. But moving on.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for the invite. I would love to.
This question is for our listeners to create some scope for the change that we'll get into next. But can you just name some of the actors and actresses that you worked with or things that you produced that might have some name recognition?
Sure. Well, I guess the names really started when I was, you know, I worked on this film called Broken Flowers as an actress with Bill Murray. That was a Jim Jarmusch film. Bill Murray was such a lovely, he actually was a very, very nice man, one of the best kindest that I met. But it was an all-star cast. It had Jessica Lange and Sharon Stone and Jeffrey Wright and Mark Webb. I mean, the list went on, and then, you know, it was all of the stars that they cast, and then, you know, there I was. And then from that, I was working in some horror films that went really huge through Lionsgate Studios, and people were just contacting me from all around the world, you know, at that point, asking, you know, for what, of course, as an actress, is when you don't have God, you're dreaming of, like, oh, when everybody asks me for my autograph. So that was going on. But on the producing side, I had started producing a movie with Norman Reedus, who everybody's just obsessed with from Walking Dead. And, you know, he was lovely to work with. We made a movie together, and he actually got interviewed on why he did this movie that I was doing, and it was very interesting. Like, it was a really rough role, and he was like, this is the sickest thing I ever read. I love it. It's the best. And I'm thinking, I look back at that, and I thought, wow, like, that's what I was making. Justin Hartley from, who stars in This Is Us, he's also really well known. So, I mean, the list goes on with that, and that was before, you know, my conversion and faith.
All right, well, let's turn that corner, because we haven't even gotten to GMM, which you'll explain in a few moments. So how about walking us into the change in your life?
And it was just an amazing transformation. I just had an overwhelming presence on that red carpet that, first of all, everything that I had, everything that
you know, the world had given me or that I had supposedly earned or whatever. Like, it meant nothing. All of those things were nothing. I was empty. I was totally and completely empty inside from all the things that the world told me that that was supposed to fill me up. That was supposed to make me happy. And it was the exact opposite. I'd never been more lost in my entire life or had no idea, you know, who I was. There was no foundation, no stability in my heart and in my soul. And I was seeking, and, you know, God brought me back through I started with a Christian, non-denominational Christian rock church, and I was there for about a year and, you know, just reading the Word, getting in the Bible, and then the Lord profoundly came in again and just took everything from me and just stripped me of everything at that time. And I had been praying for a year, you know, God, do whatever you need to do, because I wanted to change. But in that year, after my first conversion, I was still, you know, it takes time, so I was still living my life, doing the things, but I wanted that change. I just didn't know how to change. And so when God brought me to my Catholic faith, it was just explosive in just power and strength and beauty. And it was, God made it so apparent to me, because God had allowed me to get very ill at that time, and I lost a lot. And that Eucharist was so powerful. It gave me the strength, the joy, the peace to fight. Like, I had a real understanding that this was the body and blood of Christ, and I would never leave it. I could never leave it. Nothing, there's nowhere else to go. You know, it's like when they say that in the Bible, and Jesus says, you know, and John, what will you leave me to? And his disciples say, well, where else would we go? Like, that's how I feel about the Catholic Church. Like, Jesus is there. It's everything, his real presence. So, yeah, it was profound. And from that point on, and everything with this young Latin Mass priest had, you know, been giving me catechesis, things that I never knew. I mean, I didn't even know what adoration was. I never knew how to pray a rosary. I had no idea. I just knew the Our Father and Hail Mary prayer, and that was basically it, and there was no one in Ark. And so when all of this happened, it was, it just changed my life in so many amazing and beautiful, brilliant ways, and every year I just get to go deeper and deeper with him, and God took my career, and he transformed it completely and made it for him, and so now you're working for me, and I never again made anything that would hurt him or be against him. People, you know, we're not supposed to be doing those things. And I was much, it's bad to watch stuff that's not of God, but you're much more culpable even when you're the one that's making it. And so I made that commitment to God. And the more that I'm faithful to him, the more that he's been faithful to me in raising me up in the faith-based movement and working on films, you know, like The Investigator, which made top 10 at the box office, which I produced and acted in, and Hacksaw Ridge, which I got to be on the marketing team for, and just amazing, amazing projects.
Oh, how wonderful. All right. Well, when I discovered you and tried to begin to find you, I discovered Gabriel's Messenger Ministries, GMM, as I called it a few moments ago. And given the time that we have left, I want to do some diligence there. Tell us what that's about and what you're doing there.
Sure. So, you know, I've noticed that in my journey in the film industry, even on the Christian side, there's an enormous amount of Protestant content coming out. And it's wonderful stuff, and a lot of it's Catholic-friendly, and I love working on those. But the Lord has really called me to make movies and shows and projects that are specifically, you know, for Catholics or very Catholic-friendly. You know, maybe they have Catholic themes or Catholic teachings within them. And I don't mean films like, you know, there's a lot of wonderful movies out there that are documentaries or films about saints, but there's very few films that we would call entertainment, especially for Catholic young adults. There's very little to watch. And just for Catholics in general, you know, you turn on Netflix and there's 50 things that a Catholic cannot watch. There's maybe one. And so that's where the Lord has really called me. And so GMM, Gabriel's Messenger Ministries, has branched out with his GMM movies, which is making TV series. We're making a drama series. We're about to start a comedy variety series that's coming out as well. We are doing documentaries. We did a great documentary called The A Word about annulment. And it's really not only for the faithful, but it's very important to do it in an inviting way that is soft and drawing in those who have fallen away, like I did, and, you know, maybe people who don't know the Catholic faith at all.
Amen.
So that's what we're doing, and it's been such a blessing.
Listeners to our podcast, listeners in our community who hear this program, know that we started a Catholic radio station a couple of years ago. I was one of the foursome that started it. And we have one known conversion story that God has given us a visibility of. But the other thing that has happened with Catholic radio is what you said. People have made comments like, I've been Catholic all my life, but I never knew some of the things I'm hearing on Catholic radio. And so what you're doing is so wonderful in the same vein and so awesome and powerful. We're not quite ready to wrap up, but I want to make sure that we give people a chance who might hear this in a day, a week, a month, a year from now on the World Wide Web. Give them a chance to be able to check into what you're doing, and if they feel like supporting it, that we give them the way to do that. So...
That would be amazing. Yes. So you can go to gabrielsmessengerministries.com or put in my name, Nicole Abyssinio. But also gmmmovies.com is our new, and it's just starting to get rolling, so be patient with us, but it is our new VOD site. So it's subscription-based. You can go on your computer. You can sign up for a free membership. We're trying not to charge our members anything to be able to watch this content, especially since a lot of young adults can't afford that. And that being said, you know, please do, you know, you'll be able to watch movies there. And what we really are looking for is advertisers, because we're trying to just keep funding it through either advertisers or donors. And we've had such amazing, generous donors. That's why we have a full production studio right now. We have film equipment, you know, galore. We were bought new sound equipment, lenses, cameras. I mean, we have everything to be able to film these movies, and we would not be able to do that without donors. And we've got about 30 employees now, cast and crew, but obviously we need to keep them going. Yeah, they're just amazing. It's so good to have them. And they're there for the right reasons. Everybody actually signs a Catholic morality agreement.
Awesome.
To be part of it, kind of like you see it at diocese. And most, you have some Protestants with us as well, as long as they're Catholic friendly. And they actually come to Mass with us. We have daily Mass on set. We have a priest that gives Mass for us before we start filming. It's amazing.
Isn't this awesome? Dear listeners, excuse my voice, dear listeners, isn't this awesome to hear? I have a fire in my belly that I've talked about before. And to hear what Nicole is doing, it just adds fuel to the fire that I have in my belly. And I hope it does the same for you listeners, and that you'll find some way at least to pray about this, to pray that more and more people find out about Gabriel's Messenger Ministries. And if God puts on your heart to support them financially, please do that as well. Nicole, we're nearing our wrap-up time, and I know that you've done some public speaking. Do you have time to do that if anybody's interested in reaching out to you to speak at a parish or a conference? Are you able to do that?
Oh, absolutely. I love traveling for that. It's wonderful. I absolutely would like to. My agent is Catholic Speakers.
Okay.
So you can just go on. Everything is there. Or they can contact me through the site, and I can do it as well with them.
Give the connection one more time for...
Catholic speakers, but even if they just reach out to me through Gabriel's Messenger Ministries, I can always put them in contact with them. Yeah. It's a Catholic speakers agency.
Very good. Well, Nicole Abyssinio, it was joyous to come to know you, and then we've been able to laugh a little bit. Our guest bedroom, we will take down the nuns' pictures in there.
No.
And, but I promise that we will also pray for you and pray for your work. And thank you so very much for coming on our show.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this connection and so much for your prayers. I know that nothing that we do, nothing I do gets prayers, nothing. So thank you.
I don't know if you could hear Nicole giggling a few times during the interview. It was kind of fun to be interviewing her and knowing that we were able to tease and have fun with somebody who's been on the red carpet at the big film festival in France. What a joy to hear of her conversion. What a joy to share that with our listeners. And I hope that some of you will connect with her ministry, support it at least with prayer. And certainly if you are able to consider donations, it's a wonderful thing they're doing.
I did hear her laughing.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, Dee, as much as you and I have talked about loving the church, as much as we love our Catholic faith, it's hard to ignore the news of the day, things that are going on in the church. And, of course, the most common news of the day is the sad news out of Pennsylvania. I have spent a lot of time on the web looking at websites, reading columns, our Sunday Visitor, and just a number of other places. Father John Lankett, who is the
rector
of the St. Simon and Jude Cathedral down in Phoenix, posted his homily from Mass last weekend. And it was emotional, it was powerful, it condemns the sin in the church, but reminds us of the beauty in the church. And this morning you helped me find Father Larry Richards' homily that he did. Father Larry Richards, of course, is from Bread of Life, a church in Erie, Pennsylvania.
We've been there.
We've been to his parish, we have listened to him, and I've been able to see him a few times at conferences. He gave a powerful testimony about, honoring the truth and the beauty of the Catholic faith, and that we will always have sin and sinners with us. But he sure prayed and asked for prayers that that there be justice, that there be a contrition. So we want to continue that. And we just want to say to our listeners, we are not ignoring the bad news, but we're working our way through it.
And there have been so many letters written by various priests across the country on this subject. And I've seen so many links. I brought a few of the links to your attention. And
yeah, for sure. All right. Well, dear friends, we'll move on to other subjects. Dee, you said that you had some feedback that you wanted to do.
Yeah, we had I had a message from our friend Carrie here in town. She said, I forgot to send you a message last week. I was listening to your podcast on the radio, on the Catholic radio, with Thomas Crogwell. That was Catholic Vitamin Z for Zealous. I had been looking for a good saint book for the kids, and he mentioned that he had one full of colorful holy cards with the story. So I ordered it last week and just received it. It looks great. So thanks to you both.
Well, that's a local listener listening to us on our Catholic radio station, and nice to have that happen, although we also get feedback on the web. We got some written feedback, and this is from Catherine Federline. She says, Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, thank you so much for your generous gift to support my upcoming year of service with Net Ministries, N-E-T. I hope our listeners are familiar with that. And it's an evangelization technique where people, young people, go into evangelization ministry for a year. She says, I'm so excited about this amazing opportunity to reach our youth and bring Christ to them this year. I'm also extremely grateful for your generous support, both financial and spiritual, and for sharing my mission on your show. That really touched me and blew me away. Thank you. So, Once again, her name is Catherine Federlein, and if you feel like you'd like to support a young person doing the work of Christ among other young people, go to netministries.com or netministries.org. I don't have it here in front of me. And just put in a donation, a prayer donation or a financial donation for Catherine Federlein.
I was just going to mention that her mother, Risa, is a longtime listener to Catholic Vitamins.
She is. Yes, I met her at Franciscan University a lot of years ago.
I missed her at Franciscan University.
Just by minutes.
I know. And we heard from Mike in California. He's the person who does the Coffee with Mike podcast. He says, I've forgotten my manners and I must apologize. I hope that you can forgive me for not saying thank you sooner. I received the book. I devoured the book, had it finished by the end of the week. He's referring to the Book of Jokes by Jesse Romero.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Said.
He said, I love them all. I agree with Deacon Jesse Romero that the Lord wants us to laugh and be joyful. And I love that these jokes are generally clean.
Yeah.
I thought about passing it along as a giveaway on my podcast, but I've decided to start reading it to my listeners instead. The world needs more clean humor.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Dear, we're trying to build up our contacts for Catholic radio locally in our community, and this is a little project. This is sort of prattle to let our listeners know what you and I are working on together. But I found an old list of people in the community who are Catholic. We call it a parishioner list. We really don't know if it's that at all, but it had almost 500 names on it, 500 names and addresses. And so we prepared a couple sheets to talk about Catholic radio and talk about Catholic answers and to talk about a few other things that are going on with our radio station. And we sent that out. Gosh, it was a stuffing project, a lot of envelope stuffing and stamps and labels and all that sort of thing.
We involved several people in that.
We did. And then, Dee, you've had to deal with about, what, 70 or 75 incorrect.
That have come back not deliverable.
Yeah, for any number of reasons. People maybe who have moved, maybe we had bad addresses to start
now
with.
Now I'm going in and taking those names out of the database.
So let's just use around number 425 or left, and we'll be able to communicate over time with those folks. Hopefully some of them will start listening to Catholic Radio, KPIH 98.9. Maybe a few of them will find out about us being on the World Wide Web and they'll be listening to our podcast. And that sort of ties in with just a related subject. One of the things we're trying to work on these days, among all the other projects we have going on for our Catholic radio station, is we're trying to work on streaming. Streaming is a way to put our radio station on the air, I mean on the web, excuse me, and so that what we do for local broadcast in North Central Arizona would be able to be heard by Joe Capalella in Pescia, Italy, and anybody else who might have some reason to want to hear such as that.
Well, maybe more urgently, just those parishioners here in our own church who live just 15, 20 miles up the road, they can't get the signal.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely. Because of the topography, we have a lot of mountains and hills around us, which block our FM signal. Well, Dee, I think that's enough for sort of a post-interview prattle session. We'll play a little bit of favorite music and then we'll be back.
Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, in this Eucharist where you are heaven sent, in your body and your blood, in a very special way, you have come to me this first communion day. I believe you are the firstborn lamb. away our sins. I believe you died and rose again. Jesus, in the blessed sacrament, in this Eucharist where you are heaven sent, in your body and your blood, in a very special way, you have come to me this first communion day. Lord, you said I am the bread of life, and those who eat this bread will never die. So I open up my heart and receive you into me, that I may live with you for all eternity. Sacrament, in this Eucharist where you are heaven sent, in your body and your blood, in a very special way, you have come to me this first communion day.
Might seem a little bit unusual that I played that full song by Brian Flynn. It's a beautiful song about the Eucharist, and most certainly it is oriented to children who are making their first Holy Communion. I've always thought that I would love if that song was played at the end of every communion time, at every first communion mass for our children. But it also teaches us a lot of the truth about the presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Speaking of the Eucharist, this wasn't even on my thoughts to share with you. I watched the Eucharist being distributed at the Mass in Ireland today on EWTN. And, you know, we have our friend Deacon Fergal and his wife and family, and he had told me that they were going.
So we know they were somewhere in that crowd of thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
I think it must have been 500,000-600,000 people there.
Wow.
Just a very, very large park. It happened to be called Phoenix Park. I don't know if you had seen that. And that park, very, very large, is in Dublin, and it's only about 20 minutes or 25 minutes from Deacon Fergal's home, mm-hmm. where we've been. So we were near that at one time.
We're hoping Deacon Fergal might come on and give us a recap of that event for us.
Yeah. I was talking about Brian Flynn and his song about the Eucharist. Brian was a guest many years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, on Catholic Vitamins. I've tried to stay in touch with him. And I know he does music ministry in a parish. He has a wonderful album. And you can find out about him at Mercy Song, mercysong.com. He's a great singer, songwriter, and he has great musical gifts.
I just happened to think that earlier when we were talking about our story, giving our story in the interview on Let's Talk.
Yes.
Another place that people can find out our story a little bit about the podcast and how we got started is if they go to CatholicMom.com. You just recently wrote a new article for them.
I think it's going to be published around September 5th, if I remember what I saw in an email. It actually started off with writing about Catholic Vitamin A for Actress. But then I had to explain how we could have such a vitamin. And so I started way back in 2009 when I told the story about going to the Catholic New Media Conference. And so if you're interested in a little bit of background on Tom and Dee that you can read, look for that article on Catholic Mom, which I've been blessed to be associated with for
over 10 years,
maybe as many as 14 years.
So we have some books, or a book to give away. Again, we're going to do this. This might be the last week. I don't know.
All right.
What do you think?
Okay.
So one more chance to enter for this book. Divine Renovation Apprentice, Learning to Lead a Disciple-Making Parish, written by Father Simon Lobo, who we interviewed just recently.
Yes, and I've got that on my nightstand. I've been slowly getting into it, and it's a series of blog columns that Father Lobo wrote as he participated in the renewal of a parish led by his pastor at that time. So it was really wonderful.
And a CD entitled Holy Shock by Rosalind Moss, which is the conversion story of who Rosalind is now known as, Mother Miriam.
Yes, heard here on KPIH Rim Catholic Radio and not heard on Catholic Vitamins on the World Wide Web.
So if you'd like either the book or the CD, just send your request in to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com.
We're very thankful for our time with our guest actress, Nicole Abessinio. And please don't forget to look into Gabriel's Messenger Ministries. They're doing some wonderful work to evangelize in a different way. And Dee, it's time to prompt for the next vitamin.
Next vitamin will be Catholic Vitamin B. Ends in G, seven letters. If you'd like to take a guess, you can also send that to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com.
That was Vitamin A. We look forward to bringing you Vitamin B on our next show, and we thank you for listening to Catholic Vitamins. Bye.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
You left home a long time ago, but there's something I want you to know. Love of a father will always remain, no matter where you go. There isn't a thing you could do to prevent me from loving you. You could squander my money, my jewels, and my land. Still I'd provide for you. I stare out and look to the east, awaiting the glorious feast that I will prepare on the day you return, the day that my sorrow will cease. I've waited day after day, hoping you'd come home.